Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday night edition. Today's date is the 6th day of January, sorry about that, 2009. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, of course. Great to have you here with me for this most important of broadcasts. For those of you who were tuned in on the Tuesday broadcast, a lot of stuff shared with Dr. Lorraine Day, and of course, last night's show that I did with Ogner Noel from Switzerland. So I'm trying to get back in the game here. Of course, I mentioned in the show last night that I've been doing a lot of my own webmastering now because of delays in getting stuff posted, and you know, the people that have helped me over the last year or so have had other responsibilities, and they needed to keep their lives in order in a professional way and didn't have time to give to me by putting up stuff when I needed it and whatnot, and that's perfectly understandable. I don't have a professional organization here. It's just basically me and people who've been willing to join with me in a loose-fitting organization. You know, there's no salaries at this place, and of course, you all know that if you've been trying to give to me on the Internet's PayPal account, PayPal has frozen me. They're still giving me trouble about the monies that were given to me, and I've reported those donations to me as gifts. Under the limit, apparently, that the European Union allows, I'm perfectly within my rights to have accepted those gifts from the public. Under a certain amount, and I am under that amount because it's never been a large sum. But they've stopped me anyway, and you know that's a Zionist Jewish controlled organization under Jeff Bezos over at Amazon.com. So no surprises that they're doing this. Anybody who looks into PayPal finds out that they are a bunch of crooks, and there have been class action suits against them, and a whole host of things have happened to PayPal because of the way they do business, and there's no surprises there. It's just another scam run by these same crooks that we deal with every day. Sorry about all those problems. Interesting, here in France, if you're not a business, you can't open a P.O. box. And since I'm not a business, I tried to open a post office box in my area, and they refused me, of course, because I'm not a business. And then, so it's very hard for me to do things here in France this is typical of France. You people that don't live here don't realize that a lot of the controls that the governments of the world are now instituting worldwide to control their public and to destroy individual liberty and freedom were tested here first, especially the ones that have anything to do with business and money and networking as individuals with others. They have put the stop to most of that activity as best they could, and been successful in large measure. And then if anything is out of the ordinary, they send teams of tax investigators that come at you like a pit bull. So you have to toe the line here, or you're going to end up looking at the world through jail cell bars, and that's certainly not what I would like to have happen to me. It would take me out of this most important fight just when it's hotting up over here and worldwide. I have brought a friend of mine who's been going through his own organizational shifting over in England, Mohammed Rafiq. He's going to be talking with us for a moment. Mohammed, are you with me?
I am indeed. Good evening, Daryl.
Nice to have you back, Mohammed. A couple of things I want to start out here with. You know, I've been getting private emails into my box here from people that I don't know, one of the things that people have been saying again is that I'm not really Daryl Bradford Smith, and that my name is Daryl something else, and it is. I was born Daryl Bradford Smith, Mohammed. My father's name was Edwin Douglas Smith, and got a brother named Scott and another sister, and I named my brother Scott because he's been on radio on RBN with a guy named Rick Adams on many occasions, and he does a public access television show out of the area of Massachusetts where I'm from. So he's not unknown to the world, I am a Smith, born and bred, and the fact that my name was changed was due to an adoption after my father died, crashed as a fighter pilot in the Marine Corps, and I was adopted by my stepfather. Now, that doesn't change the fact that my heritage is Smith, And I went back to that because I felt that it was the right thing for me to do. I am a Smith, and that's the end of that story. But, you know, people make of those types of things when you describe them to the Muhammad as some sort of proof that I'm not who I say I am. You know, and it's a nonsense. And I've addressed this situation several times in the past, and I guess the last time I did it was a long time ago, and people don't go in the archives anymore, so they don't know this. But so I thought I would do that for everybody. But, you know, it's really, I mean, if I placed myself in the public realm here, I at least have to do that. The other thing is people claiming that you're Jewish, and we've already gone over that. Anybody listens the last couple of weeks, they would have known that's not true, and people at Rents refuse to change the statement that's calling you Jewish. And we've already said, you've stated clearly that that's not the case. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, there's nothing that can be added that we haven't said previously, Darrell. I've got somebody who sent me an email on that same issue, and you know, the level of intellect that the person is displaying in the email doesn't warrant replying, but it's quite funny, and I thought I might share this with you, Darrell, and the listeners, which is that when they were asking me if I was Jewish because of what they'd read on Rents again, I explained that you know, my mother's a Christian and my father's a Christian, and actually my mother's very devout, Church of England, in fact, devout Anglican. And he came back and said, but what about you? And it really, you know, it's a bit like saying, well, my mother is white and my father is white, therefore what colour are you? You know, are you sure you're white? Well, you know, how many parents would raise their child a Buddhist whilst professing another faith? It's quite bizarre, the level of intellect that people have. You seem to think that I was still hiding something. You know, so, well, I was raised a Christian because my mother's a Christian, my father's a Christian. Yeah, but what's your faith? Well, if somebody can't work that out, there's really, you know, they shouldn't be listening to the French Connection. There's a lovely website, Prison Planet. Go over there, please.
Yes, well, I'm going to bring that up in a minute, but here's the thing that I would say. If you can't believe that my name and my at birth was Darrell Bradford Smith, and somebody wrote that I couldn't possibly be Darrell Bradford Smith, nobody would possibly have a name like that. Because it sounds like some kind of blue-blooded Bostonian or something, you know. Who's named that? Well, I wrote back to them, are you crazy or something? I mean, it's nonsense. However, if you don't think my name is real, then just do this for me, which it is. Just check the work. I mean, don't bother with the messenger. Stop the attack on the messenger like my cretinous partner used to do, to attack everybody, the messenger everywhere, and never look at the message. But I don't want people to do that. I'm not doing that to people. I want them to check the message. Here's the message. Do I say things that are correct? And if I make a mistake, do I correct it as quickly as possible? Those are the questions you need to ask. Are the books that I got on the site accurate? Are the people that I'm promoting on the website telling the truth? Have I been consistent in my message about what we need to do to stop them? I mean, all of these kinds of questions are the ones you need to ask. If you can't wrap your brain around the fact that somebody could actually have been adopted in their life, you know. So the fact is, Muhammad, look, people can go back on our archives and check our work. Were we 100% perfect on our accusations about the financial debacle? Certainly not. But boy, we were nailing it up in the 85-90% range on most every item we touched, and that was without having inside information. And that's not what this guy Bajerkness says. He says that we have inside information. Well, some of it is coming from the fact that I spent 20 of the last years of my life involved in finance, and you also. There were very few people talking the truth, Muhammad, who've had the kind of years of experience. Now, granted, I wasn't in the risk management and bond markets and derivatives. I was in more on the trading desks and teaching trading and so forth. But combined, we've got a lot of years of knowledge here of how the system works, and when you combine that with finding out who's running it and you spend time researching it, you can make some extrapolations that are very accurate. And that's pretty simple. You want to elaborate on that?
Also, Darryl, there's the principle that the other side rely on the laziness of people. You know, there's a lot of truth which is out there. Seek and ye shall find. If you're prepared to look, you can find the truth. If somebody in this life is determined to find out what's going on, I'm sure eventually they find their way to the French Connection. You just have to be determined enough to want to find out, to keep looking, to evaluate, to test. So it says, you know, the people who listen to our shows, Darryl, it says something about them which is quite profound. You know, they've kept looking and kept looking and distilling the information in front of them until they've actually found, you know, that the stuff holds water. And at that point, you know, these discerning people, our audience, which we're very grateful to have shared these years with them, they're a discerning audience, and they found we hold water, and they as a result have given loyalty, and we're trying to remain loyal. And I think that's one of the things also, Dan, we're loyal to the truth, and that's a mark of respect for those people who stuck with the work that's been done over the years.
Well, I mean, I've got people actually out there trying to claim that Benjamin Friedman's audio that he put on record, LP record, back in 1961 is a fraud, and that I'm the one who actually did that tape, that it was done by me. The kinds of things, the accusations that still fly around out there as truth are shocking. One of them recently was by a guy named Mel Gibstein on Wake Up From Your Slumber, stating that Kay Griggs from Virginia is Jewish, which is an absolute bold-faced, 100% unabashed falsehood, lie, slanderous lie even, and Kay would tell you herself. She comes from old blue blood Southern Belle, who was raised and born and bred in the South, family roots that go back all the way back to merry old England. And Kay Griggs, I know Kay Griggs after many conversations both on air and off, and the fact is that she is nothing but an American Protestant, if you will. So, but the fact is, people would actually put that kind of stuff up on the internet and expect people to believe it. And what makes me sick is it often goes unchallenged, and that particular statement went unchallenged on Wake Up From Your Slumber, as did the same person's accusation that Dr. Lorraine Day is a Zionist Jewess trying to mislead people, which is an absolute bold-faced lie again. So, but people need to be challenging liars, because these Israeli liars are out there in force. And when you come in contact with them on these blogs, you need to go at them. Because keeping the message consistent, Muhammad, is very important to our success.
That's right. I mean, as part of the loyal following out there that have come along this way, it is important for them that if they are at a blog and they see something which is false or wrong, really, if they've got spare few minutes, putting a rebuttal in there, I think, is very important. We can't let things just stand. Sometimes, you know, we are busy. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's getting any traction as a comment. But even then, it's tempting to walk away. But I think it's still preferable just stick a note on there. I quite often find myself looking at newspaper articles, you know, Darryl. If something's got hundreds and hundreds of comments, I just don't bother, because you get lost in the noise. But if you're the first one or two on, and you see somebody's put something on there, I don't go back. I don't follow the threads that these people do. But I put a comment on there so that there's a voice in the wilderness saying this is wrong or that's wrong. And I pepper myself about all over the place. And I think really we've got to be active like that. I do think it is important.
Well, I you know, the other thing that you brought up a few moments ago was about this lying shill, and I will call him what he is, Alex Jones, had a guy named, what's his name, from the West Coast, oh goodness, he had him on yesterday, anyway, Boy, that really aggravates me that I can't remember. But the guy was talking about the whole conspiracy being Trilateral Commission, and that the whole government is controlled by the Trilateral Commission, and that all of the bankers are working for Trilateral Commission, and all of the people being appointed to Obama's cabinet are Trilateral Commission. And his name is Dr. Stan Monteith. Now, this guy Monteith will absolutely go ballistic if you get on his radio show and say that Zionists and Zionist Jews are behind any of this. And he will scream and holler at you off air and on. I mean, the guy is a rabid Zionist. And, of course, he's front and center on Alex Jones' programming. And anybody with a brain today who's spent any time looking at this knows full well that this is a Zionist criminal gang that goes back pre-Zionism. In other words, these guys have been working their nastiness for generations, even before the birth of Zionism in 1897. And this Monteith guy wants to blame it on one of the organs that they set up, one of the organizations that they built, just as they built the Bilderberg functional system and the Freemason system through Grand Orient and the Illuminati through Weishaupt and the funding. We've done all the research. We've seen the proof. And this guy absolutely stops right at the door of the Trilateral. And, of course, he points out that there are a lot of goyim working for the Zionists. Well, I'd say half the goyim you think are working for the Zionists are, in fact, crypto-Jews. And then the other ones are just useful idiots working for their criminal masters. But they're still rooted all the way back to Zionism and criminal Judaism. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely, Daryl. You know, I mean, one of the saddest things that is we have a universe where there are useful idiots. You know, there are professors who will advocate all sorts of weird and wonderful theories, some of them just because they want media headlines, they want to be in the news, or they want to be different, or they want to be famous for a particular point. And of course, if that sits with the overall flow of where these criminals are going, then that person gets front and center. And, you know, you get a room full of professors, you get 100 professors, you get 100 different opinions. Just find one with the opinion you wish to advance. He certainly thinks that, you know, that the criminals think that he's wonderful, not realizing that they just see him as a dupe and a useful idiot, which is particularly sad for these people who are supposed to be so intelligent, and that they take the salaries and the fees for doing their promotional talks on these days and for rubber stamping whatever the latest theories are to support these agendas which they're putting together. But the Trilateral Commission, O'Darrell, and lots of these organizations, as we've highlighted, they are any front that they can use. These fronts can be traced back to Weishaupt and the Bavarian Illuminati, no doubt, and the way in which they usurped Freemasonry, which itself had in fact usurped the original lodges used by stonemasons. This is a fairly common approach by them, and of course that brings us to the revelation even of common purpose.
Yes.
Having been discovered with inside the Freemasonic ranks, they've created new mechanisms to reach their points of power on the ground and their points of influence on the ground and their ears and eyes on the ground. They have always moved from one structure to another. They're not going to be uncovered as working through Freemasonry and remaining Freemasonry. That would be foolish anyway. The whole point is that it's covert. By virtue of it being covert, of course, if they're coming to the limelight, they have to move on. And we expect to see them reinventing themselves here, there, and everywhere. The Trilateral Commission, they did use. They don't use it for that anymore. They've had to move on. It got exposed.
Well, and that's right. And we discussed that recently about, you know, the fact that they were willing. I mean, for a long time, the connection to, you know, when I was a young man, Freemasonry was only whispered about. And then, you know, and anybody who was involved in it kept it very quiet that they were members. And then all of a sudden, people were feeling emboldened about discussing it, and The lodges that were active only talked about Shriners, and of course the Shriners are part of that Masonic movement and all this. But nobody would discuss what any of it meant. And you know, but in the 1980s and 90s, these people were outed by books, by people from the inside. So my point is that their effectiveness as a clandestine group in the employ of Zionism was certainly marginalized, and it absolutely is credible that they would have started a new organization. Now, when you see what Common Purpose is promoting, the global warming agenda, they're promoting this the greening of spaces by taking away property rights from people. That they're promoting socialist ideals and collectivism. And the person who's running it out of Britain, Middleton, was an ex-leader of the communist movement in Britain. So my point is that the communists are joined at the hip with the Zionists. They invented it.
Absolutely. It was a theology that they came up with as a way to undermine the Christian nature of Russia and the Tsarist Empire, which was a bulwark in the world in its day against the conduct of these criminal Jewish group. And as a result, they set out to destroy it. And they spent a huge amount of money out of America overthrowing it. And on the ground, the mechanism was communism.
That's right. That's right, Muhammad. And, you know, one of the things that I'm starting to realize here is that you and I and others like us, and there are a growing number of us, we're trying, they're not allowing us to get the kind of traction that we deserve in this recent problem in Palestine. Where our numbers should have gone up by 30-40%, I've only seen a 15% rise in our effort. And that's sad, but by and large, their efforts to weaken our message have somehow worked. And I'm wondering what it is next that we need to do to get this stuff, you know, back on track. What do you think we should be doing?
Well, right now, I think it's very difficult to know exactly the best way of moving it forward. I think it certainly needs to move sideways in terms of the depth of reach. I think that we have got a flourishing at the moment of a large number of small groups that are set up. So it's a very unusual shape that this movement has at the moment, Darren. It hasn't really centralized, but the information seems to be spreading further and wider, and more new people keep popping up and presenting the information, which is all well and good, in that the information is there. I suppose one of the things is, you know, the levels of determination that people themselves have to get to the truth. And I think maybe many people in the world today are just not working hard enough at getting to the truth. One could have looked at the pictures of Palestine that came out recently, and the dreadful scenes there. Those scenes have been available, but not in such a condensed format. But in the last 10 years, there isn't an image that didn't come out of those few weeks that hadn't been there previously. I mean, I remember the famous incident, Darrell, if you remember, the father protecting his son behind the car.
Yes.
And being shot by a group of the most cowardly assassins that one could imagine. And that man still with his bullets flying through his body, still trying to shelter his son. And then when his son broke free, they shot his son as well. I mean, it didn't take the latest round. I'm pleased that a lot of people have woken up through this latest round to what's going on. But that information was there for people who were prepared to look hard and to go through that horrible sensation in the stomach that sickens you to the core when you see these things that hurt your very person, that hurt your senses, that make you wonder what on earth is wrong in this world when you see such imagery. It's always been there, and I can understand why some people are frightened to look at it. But what people have to overcome, Daryl, is that fear, because as long as people are frightened of looking at it, it's going to continue.
Well, yeah, recent staged attacks on Jewish groups and centers, you know, it looks like they're out there trying to, you know, put swastikas on things themselves and then say, look, we need your protection, isn't this awful? Well, interesting, last night, this has reached all the way to a main speech given to the French public by Nicolas Sarkozy last night, where he actually mentioned Bishop Williamson. I want to get into what Bishop Williamson, I don't want to talk about his accusations because that would clearly put me in jail, but the fact that Bishop Williamson took that stand, I hope, against hope, that he does not knuckle under to this Jewish Pope, Ratzinger, and recant what he said. Because if that happens, and he pulls a Mel Gibson here, which is exactly what Mel Gibson did, you know, he told the truth about Zionist criminals, and then as soon as the pressure was on, he got on television and said, I didn't mean any of it, I was sorry, I did, it was a mistake, and it wasn't true, and it was this guy just turned out to be the biggest pile of dog crap that I ever heard of. Well, Williamson has an opportunity here to stand up for pre-Vatican II Catholicism, which was the last bastion of Catholicism that was still fighting criminal Judaism. You want to comment on that?
Well, my fear about this chap is, you know, that was he asked to make the statement with the intention of him recanting it later? You know, I mean, I'm very wary of this kind of stuff. You know, let's accept him back. It's all a bit too contrived for me, Daryl. It's all a bit too well stage managed.
But he was given speeches back as far as 2 and 3 years ago, exposing 9/11 as a lie, talking about a world being taken over by criminal gangs that were connected to a single group. And I mean, he was saying truthful things for some time. In speeches he was giving to congregations, not so much in the press. And this particular interview that he did in Sweden, I think it was Sweden or it might have even been Germany, the interviewer asked the question and he didn't back off from answering. It was on the net where he actually stands up for it. He does look reasonably credible from the outside, and I'm wondering if he's going to be as courageous as he was credible.
Well, this is one of the problems that we face. There are two things. I mean, obviously, you know, in the Catholic teachings, we have the fact that the Pope is the supreme decision maker for religious authority. So to welcome this chap back and say, well, obviously, you know, I can't welcome you back if you've got this going on there, but, you know, that's not an important part of Catholic doctrine, and if you can just back off on that, then you know, you're back in the fold, and we can all say how wonderful it is, and, you know, it's the greater good. So what I mean by that, Daryl, is that, you know, you can pick somebody who maybe you know is longing to make it back into the fold, and all he's got to do is, you know, ignore, you know, turn his back on a couple of political issues for the purposes of the greater good. It can be done on that basis. At the other extreme, which I think doesn't apply in this case, but at the other extreme, you know, the Catholic Church sadly does have a small group of clergy that, you know, have been caught, you know, with their hands down the trousers of little boys and things on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, you can't help but think that that was all deliberate. And if you've got one of those that you know about that hasn't been publicly unfrocked, shall we say, getting one of them to go out and make the statements and then exposing them as a molester is another way of destroying the message. So I am cautious. I would like to think the man was sincere, but if he was sincere to the truth, then he would have to be able to say to the Pope, well, you know, if you want me to turn my back on the truth in order to gain acceptance with the main Catholic Church, I can't do that.
And that's too high a price.
That's a high one, isn't it? That's a high bar, that one, Darrell. I'd like to think he's capable of that, but I'm not about to bet my dinner on it, no.
Well, let's wait and see what his response is, because he has been called out to recant, and I'm hoping against hope that this man, you know, because he's certainly following in Father Conklin's footsteps from the 1930s, could be a real lightning rod for a lot of resistance worldwide and a lot of new people opening up the truth, because many people in the Catholic religion are aware that the Church has degraded since Vatican II, and that was definitely the death nail for quality Church representation in the community. I mean, as soon as Vatican II went through, the Catholic Church became a shell of its former self, and that was the full infiltration happening when they started inviting priests that were known homosexuals into the fold and hiding them out in different places and bringing in bishops that were didn't have the Catholic model of presentation in their minds. And I remember, you know, having been schooled in Catholic school, in high school, I remember that most of the priests that I was taught by were in their 70s and 60s. They were quite old. And in fact, the ones that I remember having been troubled with this homosexual sickness that they displayed in with the other students, it was mostly the priests that were in their 30s and 40s pulling this off. Many of the older priests, I didn't see this happening. Now, maybe that was because they were older, I don't know. But certainly, you know, this has permeated the Catholic religion, this sickness. And you know, they've used that, along with a lot of things, to just poison many people away from the Catholic Church. Now, I am not a Catholic, so I'm not speaking for Catholicism in any way. What I am saying is that my analysis says that this is an intentional destruction of the Catholic Church's power over this criminal gang, which they once had. I mean, they were the only resistant force in the last couple of hundred years against criminal Zionism setting up shop in every part of our lives. And now that they've been neutered, we're just getting whacked around left, right, and center. Am I correct in making that